With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Tack Show. I'll be your host today. And joining me is this guy.
Chase, and I'm late.
And I'm Remington, your host today. Welcome, Chase. Better late than never. It's good to see you here.
I was late because I was pushing the record buttons.
The more you know.
Yep.
All right. So we have now passed Halloween.
The yes,
candy
we have.
Is dispersed. It's out in the world. The candy companies have gotten, 40% of the year's profits.
And now it's time for the inspiration for Nightmare Before Christmas time.
Is that the inspiration?
The inspiration.
The age-old question of...
The way Nightmare Before Christmas came to be was the writer of it was in a store as they were pulling down Halloween decorations and putting up Christmas decorations, and that like stark contrast of happy Christmas land and scary demonic Halloween decorations right next to each other is what gave him the idea.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that.
Yep.
So this, the age old question is, when now do we put up our Christmas tree?
That is the question. When do you think is a good time?
So we usually go with right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, for me it's like day to week after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's the same for me because right after Halloween you have Thanksgiving. And for me, I actually am more of a fan of Thanksgiving than Halloween. So that's really the holiday that I want to prep for. Because as discussed last week, I really enjoy cooking.
Yeah, and Thanksgiving is an amazing time for cooking.
It is. It's excellent. And it's like the one day of the year we're going to make like six pies. Do you know what I mean? We actually
pie season.
I love pie.
Pie season.
It's going to be hard not to give that.
I have a friend who I hang out with very often who makes amazing pies.
Really?
Yes. Oh, he made a banana cream pie for me a few weeks back. And oh, best banana cream I've ever had. Like,
I've never
not
made,
even close.
I've never made banana cream. Do I know him?
Yeah, you know him.
Okay. So that's why that's why I do it after Thanksgiving, because I don't want to put Christmas before Thanksgiving is really what it comes down to.
Yeah, a lot of people really like Christmas, and just for the sake of putting their argument forward, they say, yeah, but Thanksgiving is kind of a forgettable holiday. You have your party and then move on.
See, if Thanksgiving is to all of you people who have ever said that to Chase, shame on you. And if Thanksgiving is a forgettable holiday, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of starting Christmas before Thanksgiving. A lot of people really like that, and I listen to a lot of Christmas music in the Christmas season. Mm-hmm. Like it's constant in my car, it's constant in my headphones, but not before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and the other thing too is, like, our Halloween decorations are different from our Thanksgiving decorations.
Yes, Thanksgiving is more generic fall.
Right, it's like an autumn decoration as opposed to like Halloween stuff. But we don't do a lot of spooky decorations at our house. We're like pretty tame.
It's already snowing here, but
yeah. So anyway, but I mean, Utah's weird where it's going to be autumn and kind of in and out of snow for like 2 months before it's actually winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's already winter in Alaska, it has been.
Yeah, it has been since August, really.
Yeah, pretty much. Like it was usually like snows on my birthday. That's kind of how I would dictate, like, oh,
really?
It's winter. It's my birthday. It's snow. It would snow on my birthday so often up in Fairbanks. But that said, I think, yeah, Christmas is great. And if you're just like glossing over Thanksgiving, like you're missing out on one of the best holidays. It's a great time for family. It's a great time for food. If you're not really into turkey, chances are that means one of two things. One, just don't do turkey. Do something else. Do a ham.
You can always do a honey baked ham.
Do a tofu in the shape of a turkey or whatever you people do. And then, or the other thing is you're doing it wrong. Learn how to cook your turkey better, and you will like turkey, and you won't want to gloss over that anymore. So those are my thoughts. I go right after Thanksgiving.
I am still bitter.
That's my Martha Stewart moment right there.
I'm still bitter to this day that I didn't get to have that amazing barbecue turkey and Thanksgiving in Okinawa.
I would be bitter too.
I'm still bitter. It's been years. It's been years.
I'm bitter that my turkey was rotten last year.
That what happened there?
So I don't know if it was the way I thought it or if it was bad from the get-go, but I did like all these different things to make it really good, but it just smelled like trash that had been sitting for like 2 months.
Oh.
It was awful. The smell came from the bones. So the meat was actually palatable, but because of the smell, it was just like disgusting. Like I ate some of the meat and it was like, okay, the meat's okay, but like the rot came from the bones. And it just was so ridiculously awful. And the year before that, I had made the best turkey I'd ever eaten in my life. I mean, like, wherever, like, the second place turkey that I'd ever had was, like, that was, like, left behind. That was, like, the year before was Usain Bolt, and the other one was you swimming. And the real one, not the...
Not the fake number.
Not the record. No, Chase is, you're actually a pretty fast swimmer.
I like swimming.
It's like me swimming. Okay. Yeah, you swam with me. Chase has coached me in swimming once. Then he gave up on me.
No, we just never did it again.
I know, but it made for a better story comparing to Usain Bolt if I say he gave up. But it's not true. He didn't give up. We just, you know, I don't know.
We finished our exercise session and just never really did it again.
No, swimming's hard.
Swimming, I thoroughly enjoy it. But you have to get to like a certain level of fitness before swimming is enjoyable.
Yeah.
So like,
I like swimming, but I can only do like 5 strokes at a time. And then I'm like, well, that was fun.
Well, I can get I enjoy across diving too. The pond. Right now, I can get about 100 meters before I want to take any break. And that's just down once and back. And that's, you know, it takes a little bit of exercise. And I'm not taking a long break. It's just I stand up for a few seconds, take a breath, get back into it. But that really defeats what I really enjoy about swimming, which is when you get really good at it, you've gotten in a groove, your system is all in a position where you can just go back and forth, say 10 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, you can go as long as you want at that point, just slow down your pace. It's just like you kind of go into a trance and just swim. There's right. nothing but you, the water, and your thoughts.
Right.
And you can sort out your thoughts real nicely.
And choking. At least for me. drowning, choking, all that stuff. But anyway, so the previous like 3 or 4 years, I was making turkey. And I was each one, no, maybe more than that, maybe like 7 years. Like since I got married, I started making the turkey. And every year was better than the last. I would like do it, and the next one was better, next one was better, next one was better.
2 years ago was amazing, and then last year was a fail?
Yeah, you think like, okay, 7 years of improvement, and each time's better than the last until you reach this, like, holy smokes, this is the best turkey breast I've ever put in my mouth, to holy cow, this smells like rotten trash. Just imagine the disappointment that I had. Like, oh, my goodness, it was so terrible. We had guests that were slated to come over, but they got sick before they came over. Thank goodness, because they definitely would have been sick if they had come over. I'm not, like, glad they were sick. I'm glad they didn't come over to eat that awful mess. But we usually do a pie contest.
Okay.
Just in our family. Just like my wife and I and the kids. The kids don't make the pies, but maybe they will sometime. But we do a contest. We do like the categories are like most beautiful, most delicious, and I think we might do a most creative, you know? And so everybody votes on each of those things. So we look at them and we taste them, and it's kind of a fun tradition that we do.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. And so we kind of get into the decorating a little bit. My wife's really good at decorating and stuff. But I'm like getting kind of better at it. She usually beats me on taste. I usually win on creativity or decoration.
Hmm.
I'd like to change that this year to me winning all of them.
Very competitive.
Well, she'll just be like, oh, the easiest thing for me to do is just not bake one, you know. But anyway, no, I think Thanksgiving's fantastic. This year, I have a plan for what I'm going to do. I'm going to do things very differently.
Okay.
Very differently. I'm going to do. All right.
Save that for a pre-Thanksgiving
episode. Let's do that. Maybe we'll even do it together. Would that be kind of fun?
That'd be kind of fun.
So anyway, all right. You said you wanted to talk about some other things. Oh, I brought up those other things.
Yes, you did.
I brought up the things. So we talk about pop culture on here sometimes. We kind of want to talk about it a little bit more. It's a fun thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Probably one of the bigger reasons why we don't talk about it is because we're not that into it that much anymore.
Yeah, so the problem with pop culture right now is that...
It sucks!
Yeah, it's terrible.
Can we say that?
So I still take in a good amount of entertainment content. But it's all Japanese.
Yeah, it's foreign.
Yeah, I don't really watch American pop culture anymore, where American pop culture was like, well, that was the pop culture of the world. It was the spreading of the influence of the U.S. across the world was how incredible Hollywood was.
Yep.
And now it's like,
steaming.
No one cares.
Pop pile of trash.
It's really quite sad.
So I came across this article. This is what sparked this conversation before we started recording. I came across this headline or this article, and of course I just read the headline because I'm American. I don't read articles. I read headlines. But it said something like the Andor series is like the best new Star Wars thing, but hardly anybody is watching it and they're missing out. And my thought was like, yeah, of course hardly anybody's watching it. Like Star Wars, so-called Star Wars episodes 7, 8, and 9 were so stupidly awful and disheartening and just despicable that they turned off a lot of people. Then they made Rogue One, and it was like, oh, that was kind of cool. And then they made Han Solo, and it was like, okay. And then they made Mandalorian.
Glimmer of hope.
Yeah, it was
the
like...
The end was iffy.
Yeah, it's like, this is kind of cool. Like, it's a little different, little spaghetti western in space, you know, kind of
yeah,
like...
space cowboy.
Like Star Wars, you know, it had a little bit of that feel, right? A little bit of that rugged space cowboy feel, right? And people liked it. It had mixed reviews. I had mixed feelings about it. But overall, I watched it. Then they came out with Boba Fett. And Boba Fett was absolutely terrible. They just took this really cool, hardcore, like, only says what he needs to say, otherwise just a silent character, and they turned him into this, like, weird communist, like, lovey bear. And even the actor who played him was like, he said, like, he's like, I argued with the director about all the dialogue. He's like, I don't think we should have all this dialogue in there. And he's like, just do it. And he thought that it was a bad portrayal of the character. And he did his best. It's like, you can't fault the actors for doing their best. But when you give them this, like, terrible writing that just doesn't make any sense, it doesn't follow, like, logical structure, it doesn't have the kind of character development you expect, it doesn't have the character premises that you would expect, right? Like, the bounty hunter turned crime boss was like a Robin Hood kind of thing. It, like, made, like, no good tactical decisions after being the best bounty hunter in the galaxy. Like, it just didn't make sense at all.
Yeah.
And I ended up watching the whole thing and just felt just like, this is the last straw. And then I actually encountered the real last straw, which was Kenobi. And I watched like a couple episodes of Kenobi and I was just like, this is so stupid. Like, this makes no sense. It just like ruins everything. Like, the way they have I heard like ideas, like people talking about it, and they're like, if they had done something like this and this, it would have been really cool. And I could picture, like, one of the things they had said was like, if they had done a character study of Anakin and Kenobi, and they never meet each other, but they're like going down these different paths, and you get to explore their trouble and trauma and all these things that lead up to where they are in A New Hope, that could have been pretty neat. But it was just a hot mess. And I didn't watch the entire thing. I watched a couple episodes, and I was like, I am done. And so it's like they come out with other things like Andor or this or that, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's so cool, but nobody's watching it. They're missing out on this gem. It's like, no. No, you had your chance to bring people in. You've, like, thrown it away time and time and time again. You disrespect the fans who actually do care about the franchise by, like, going out on like Twitter and stuff and calling people out, calling people names, calling people racist, telling the fans that they're stupid and they don't understand the lore or they don't understand like what it means to be this or that. And then you're like, oh, it's kind of weird that nobody's showing up to watch this show that's so cool. You can only shaft people. Can we say shaft people? You can only shaft people so many times before they're just fed up. You know what I mean? You can only throw people under the bus so many times before they're like, you know what? I'm not going to let you touch me. Thank you. You know? And I feel like that's happened with me. And it's gotten to the point where not just Star Wars, but all kinds of like Disney-run shows, Marvel shows. Marvel's done the exact same thing.
Yes.
Like their Phase 4 stuff has been just super hot trash.
Yeah.
Like
it's been awful.
Like and it's gotten to the point where it's like, I'm not gonna watch that. I'm not gonna waste my time watching that. And then they make stuff where you're just like, I'm so glad I'm not watching this, you know?
Well, Disney's put themselves in a scenario where they bought all of these franchises. Very, very large fandoms following these franchises. And threw them on the Disney Plus platform and brought in an insanely large amount of viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very quickly made Netflix very nervous about the numbers Disney Plus was pulling in. You and I both subscribe to Disney Plus. And then they have proceeded to take all these franchises that they've bought.
Mm-hmm. With really dedicated fan bases.
Cover them in garbage, set them aflame, throw them in the dumpster, and then get mad that people aren't subscribing to Disney Plus as much.
Yeah.
That their numbers are going down. It's like, well, no crap, the numbers are going down. You've destroyed everything that everyone cared about in all of these fandoms.
Yeah.
The characters that people loved, you say, no, that's a white man. That's not allowed.
Yeah. And the things they did just don't make sense. And, like, it doesn't, it's just garbage. Like, I get paying actors millions of dollars. And if an actor can portray a role really, really well, pay him a ton.
Yeah.
But you got to pay your writers, man. Like, you got to get writers who can actually write. Because the writers have been absolute garbage.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they are paying them really well, but they're just picking writers that are garbage intentionally. But
or if they're only picking stories. Like, so Nerdrotic talked about it, and he talked about how they're only picking stories that hit the right checkboxes.
Mm-hmm.
So every writer is kind of shackled that, okay, I have to write this, and if I want it to even get looked at, it's got to have all the ethnic characters in it. It's got to have several off-topic woke comments that are just absolutely jarring. Like, I was listening to an audiobook recently, and it was Fairy Tale by Stephen King. It's quite long, but I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Except there are random scenes that it throws in that are completely unrelated. Have I told you this?
Yeah, you mentioned it off screen.
Okay. So there's one scene, and I'm sure I told you about this one, because this one was the most jarring, where it hasn't told you that the kid is in class, but all of a sudden he's thinking about something, and all of a sudden his teacher says, hey, what do you think about black on blue or blue on black crime? He's like, that's bad. It's like, yeah, it is bad. And then goes about the rest of the story, and it's like, why did you throw that in there? Or it'll be sitting there.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sitting there talking about any topic whatsoever. It'll be going through the magical fairy storyland that he kind of just lived in and made his way back out. And then he thinks back on it and goes, oh, I'm glad I locked that away, because then we would have destroyed that world the way we destroyed this world with our fossil fuel usage. Right, and it's just like, I'm just going to throw whatever liberal talking point I can into the book, regardless of how it feels, just because I really need to make sure my message is heard. And I feel like that's really overtaken all of Hollywood, Stephen King, of course, being one of them in the Hollywood swamp. But, like, the good writing is possible if you could just get past your...
Need to preach?
Yes, that.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I feel like with this whole destruction of these things that I love. So I grew up watching Star Wars. We had the films on VHS, and I watched them, and I watched them, like, every December. That was just a thing I did. Like, even if I watched them throughout the year, December came around, and that was my time to sit down and watch the Star Wars trilogy. Because it's a trilogy. And I would watch the Star Wars trilogy every December, and I loved it. But I have not been doing that this last decade, because I've just been so off put by it all. And the Star Wars, like the original trilogy that you can find, like on Disney Plus, it's been so altered that it destroys some of the key moments. Like it just sucks the gravitas out of some of the most powerful moments in the series. Which is so sad, because it's those moments where you're like, where it grips your soul. And you feel the conflict, the internal conflict, the struggle of what it's all about, the culmination. You feel it with the characters. And they take that and they just piss all over it. And then they ruin it. And then you don't feel it. You're like, what? Okay, what? And it doesn't have the impact that it had back then. And not that, like, you know, I'm a grown-up now, so it doesn't have the impact. No, it's like what they've changed has eliminated that impact, that gravitas, that empathy, that gut-wrenching, like, decision, standing on the precipice feeling. You know what I mean? It's gone. But it was always there before, and they changed that. And so one of the reasons why I don't watch it anymore is because the version that I can just find, because I don't have the VHS tapes with me, they're at my parents' house, you know, is altered so much. And the other reason is I've just been so off-put by everything that Disney and Lucasfilm have done over the past decade. But now, like today, it was actually during this conversation, or kind of toward the beginning of this, that I was thinking, like, they may have done all that, and I may be done with new Star Wars. But the thing is, like, the old Star Wars, if I can get a hold of it, is still something that I treasure. And I don't have to let new Star Wars tarnish the old Star Wars. Do you know what I mean? Like, people talk about Terminator shows, right? Like, oh, or Alien, right? They're like, okay, this new Alien franchise movie that came out, they hate it, but they're still going to love the Alien movie. You know what I mean? And I can do that too. And I can take that thing that was a gem to me and pass it on to my kids. So far, I've only been like, yeah, like, we don't watch it because it's all garbage, you know? Mm-hmm. But it was such a gem to me, and it was like a big part of my upbringing, part of me growing up, and part of me, like, understanding who I am and how to treat other people, and the story of love and redemption. It's just so beautifully portrayed, you know? And I want to take that, and I think this year might be the first year in a while where I reintroduce that tradition into my December. And I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to find a version. They say there's a digital version floating around that's as close to the original as can be. Or I might just go and find some VHS tapes. I'm sure somebody around here has VHS tapes. I've got a VCR. I've got, like, a super old VCR. Like, I've got two, but one of them's, like, crazy old looking. Anyway, and I think I'm going to watch it. I might watch it with my kids this year. They've been asking, and I've been saying, like, when you're old enough, we'll watch it. Because I want them to, well, first of all, I want it to be age appropriate, because yeah. I don't want them just getting into a violent, political whatever thing that they're not going to understand and they're not going to enjoy, and it's going to traumatize them or whatever. You know, I'm not going to take them to go watch Schindler's List or something with me. But I also want them to be able to grasp it. I want them to be able to feel it. I want them to be able to understand the character development. And I think you and I talked about this on our episode with Tom Sheedy, and that's probably coming out sometime in the future. But the idea of taking time
next
to discuss.
Week. Come out next week.
Yeah, next week. Discussing what we're going into with, like, looking for what the plot is and character development and how people change and the lessons that they learn. Because we can really get a lot from our entertainment, from our movies, by doing that. And I feel like I've gotten so much from the movies that I watched growing up. And like I said, I watched Mary Poppins the other day with my kids. And I've watched Mary Poppins a bunch of times. But I saw it for the first time this last time.
Yeah.
And I feel like my kids were able to get so much more out of it than I did as a kid, because of the talks that we had about getting something out of it and about understanding the characters and about understanding their struggles and their lessons. And I feel like there's so much there. And that's also part of why I like talking about pop culture here on the show, is because there's so much more to it than just sitting and vegging out at the TV.
Yeah.
Or at least there should be. But nowadays it's not. Nowadays it's a light show and the story doesn't matter. It's like Whose Line Is It Anyway, except it isn't funny. You know, it's like the, like, it's all made up and the points don't matter. Like, that's the thing they say on there, right?
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's just made up garbage and nothing matters. Like, there's the character development doesn't matter. They're born perfect, all this stuff. But when you get these old classics that have withstood the test of time, you touch something deeper than entertainment. You get to glimpse the human soul, and you get to see what that means for yourself. And that's something special. That's something meaningful, because it's not just, oh, cool, I saw something else, or I understood somebody else. No, we get to see ourself, and we get to understand ourself, and we can change ourself a little bit, and that changes us so that the way that we interact both with ourself and also with the world changes. And that's how we can make the world better. It's such a powerful thing that Hollywood had been so good at packaging up and delivering to us in a 1 or 2 hour block. And now for 12 hours, and they can't even do it.
Yeah.
And it's really sad, because that power is so good, and we can use that to talk about ideas, and we can use that to change society.
Yeah.
And I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, like when I think about every show that I really enjoy nowadays, they're all very, very, very character driven.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they all also have immense struggle in both the protagonist and antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you can see the humanity behind why the villain is doing what they're doing, it's just another, oh, look, Hitler bad movie. Mm-hmm. Like, we get a lot of those. One of my favorites, and I am hardly recommending this to anyone, because you can't recommend anyone watch.
Yes.
No, oh. A series that's 1,000+ episodes. Huh. But One Piece is one of the best series.
Oh, I love One Piece.
It's amazing. So 500 episodes into One Piece, you see the first true failure of the main character. So the way the show has portrayed itself up until that entire point is they're kind of on this happy-go-lucky journey. And they're freeing people along as they go, and they're collecting crewmates on their pirate ship, and they're the good pirates going out, setting everyone free, because his idea of what is a pirate is someone who is the most free. And the king of pirates is going to be the most free person, so I want to be the king of pirates. That's kind of his naive interpretation of things. And he grew up with a kid. He calls him his brother. It's really his cousin, I think, but he called him his brother. They grew up together. They were raised by their grandfather. And his brother's arrested by the government that by this point you're starting to figure out is probably not just. It's pretty corrupt. You're kind of figuring this out by 500 episodes. Shocker, government is corrupt. And he's going to be publicly executed at a huge location. Now, this is a massive scene. You've kind of seen the main character fall. One giant, like, person took him out, his entire crew, like, in a matter of seconds at one episode. And he kind of breaks down, like, oh my gosh, I've failed. And he goes, you haven't failed. I'm not actually defeating you. I'm forcing you to go back and learn because you're not strong enough to be here, and just kicks him out. And it kind of, the next few episodes, you think he's wiped out the entire crew. In reality, he's like, has this power to send them off to different places. He's sent them each off to a place where they can learn and grow. There's a 2-year time skip. They all meet back together. Then the actual real first failure happens when the main character shows up to save his brother. And he shows up, and this character, who has done no wrong the whole show, has been upstanding. He's been helping everyone. He gets to this fight, and he's completely outclassed. He's unable to help anyone. In fact, he almost dies several times on his way trying to run away from this battle of the actual heavy hitters in the series. And then his brother, who has been broken free and is about to make his escape, stops and jumps in front of the main character as a hit from one of the strongest people around is about to hit the main character. Sacrifices himself to save the main character who is too weak. And so you see the real failure. You can see I like tear up just thinking about it. The first real failure of this character is at a point where it is the most important fight to him that he has ever been a part of. And it is because he is too weak. He is so weak that he got in the way that his brother died. Had he not been there, things would have gone better. And it completely scars and breaks him down. And you watch that absolute break. This character for 500 episodes times 20 minutes. I mean, a few hundred hours you've watched this character. And now you can see he's real. He's human. He breaks. He can't handle this. And it takes a long time for him to recover. And he gets to the point where this character that was his brother gets brought up several times throughout the series, where when he learns about the adventures his brother had been on from other people. And he, when people are so sad that Ace, his brother, has died, well, you may think you're sad or you didn't know him very well. I knew him real well, and I watched him die. And I got back up and I kept fighting. You need to get back up and keep fighting, because this battle isn't over. And he uses that to continue to raise people up after it just broke him. And it's stories like that, stories where you get to see the real base level, like, humanness of a character, where they may be someone who can do no wrong, and you see a lot of that born perfect. But the real stories that impact are the stories where you see this person's not perfect. This person wasn't strong enough. This person isn't able to. But that doesn't stop them. And they're going to get back up and keep going until they get to the point that they are able to achieve their goals, that they're able to help the people around them. Right. Those are the stories that you really, really strike home. And that's just lost from Hollywood.
Yeah. You know, there's always so much to talk about with this stuff. And this is why I say, like, you know, we should talk about this stuff. We're like, well, what are we going to talk about? So this was our conversation before we started recording. We're like, let's talk about pop culture stuff. And you're like, well, we're not really consuming a lot of pop culture. What should we talk about? But there's so much that we care about that we've already had that I feel like we really could talk for a very long time.
Yes, we could.
And I think if you guys are down, you know, to hear us talk about movies and stuff more often and things like that, let us know. And also, I'd like to hear what the audience, I guess we won't hear it, read it in the comments. I want to know what you guys think or what movies or what scenes from movies have had a big impact on you in this way that we can glimpse into or touch this human element and what that's meant for you. Because being able to see that and being able to get people's recommendations is fantastic, especially when we're in this sea of streaming of like, well, I don't know what to watch, you know. And what I really like when we have our guest episodes, asking them, what's your favorite movie? And they tell us, and it's like, well, cool. Now I have somewhere to start.
Yeah.
And so I would love to talk more about this stuff. I would love to have this be more regular. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that would be good. We just need to have more content to talk about. Because like right now, it's basically just a bash on Hollywood, and then I'll inevitably end up talking about some moment of anime that touched me, because there is good anime recently, and when's the last time we had a guest on, asked them what their favorite movie was, and it was something recent?
Oh, man.
Well, have we had one?
I
can't think of one.
Well, we recently had somebody say there was a TV show that they were into recently.
Yes, we did. We did have a TV show. Yeah, that's right. And that was today.
That was today, yeah.
Can you think of any others?
No, it's mostly been shows from the 80s.
Yeah.
Mostly shows from the 80s.
And we've asked lots of people at this point. I mean, that should be like a scathing review on what Hollywood has become.
Right. If somebody was be like, oh, I love this movie. You know,
but there's just nothing recent that ever gets mentioned.
Dude, so I was watching, I know we got to wrap up here, but I was watching Coco again.
Yeah.
Coco, you know, the Disney movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so Disney's come out with a couple of things that have been decent.
Yeah, I liked Coco.
Coco and Encanto. I
liked Encanto, yeah.
But like, I went to the school to watch it with my kids, and I actually just brought my headphones and listened to an audiobook and kind of slept a little bit, like, while during the movie night. They put on like a big theater in the gym. It's pretty cool. And anyway, but I woke up at the end, and even like missing the whole movie, Like, they just wrap up the end so beautifully, and they put it all together, and they touch on the themes, and oh man, it was hard not to just bawl my eyes out just watching like the last 10 minutes of the movie.
yeah. Encanto and Coco were both very good. I think that section of Disney is still doing a good job with the animated films. And it's not all the animated
Pixar.
Films.
I think that is Pixar that's doing those.
It is. You think so?
I think that's...
Because I know they got taken over by Disney, sure, but they're still pretty much separate.
Right. So I pointed that out because my brother was talking to me, because we talk about movies sometimes, and he's like, Disney hasn't come out with anything good. I was like, well, Encanto was not bad. You know, he's like, oh, it wasn't bad, but that was Pixar. That doesn't count. I'm like, okay, fair. And Coco was Pixar as well. So... Mm.
So Pixar's still making good stuff.
Pixar still, like, puts in an effort, you know. Yeah. Anyway, no, this has been fun, and I hope you guys enjoy it. And I know, like, pop culture means a lot to a lot of people, not just to us. When we say pop culture, it's, you know, music, books, movies, TV shows, you know, and I'm sure there's some other things there, too, that I'm not thinking of. So, yeah. I mean, I want to know what you guys think as the viewers, like, what's important to you and what kind of lessons you've learned. And if this is something that you find interesting, like I'd love to try to make this more regular and talk more about it. But I know we're coming to the end of our time here, so without further ado, stay dangerous.
Keep your conversations tactical.
And we'll see you next time.